copy of God's Word, if you'll take that out and stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. A reading from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 27. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Father, as we continue our study on prayer, I pray that our people may go deeper and deeper each week. As we learn something new each week, may we go deeper with you in prayer. May our hearts be tuned to you. May our minds be tuned to you. And may we lift your holy name up, Lord, as we pray and as we're devoted to you with our life, our words, and our deeds. Open our ears this morning that we might hear your truth. May we drink it in, and may the Holy Spirit pour it within us so that we will be changed and transformed by your holy word. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Do you worry? Lou, you don't worry, do you? You should be. This is how you can tell when it's time to worry. You have a twin sister, and she forgets that it's your birthday. This is how you can tell when it's time to worry. The bird singing outside your window of your house is a buzzard. This is how you can tell it's time to worry. Your wife says, "Good morning, Bill," but your name is Joe. This is how you can tell it's time to worry. Your income tax check from the government bounced. That's a real worry, isn't it? This is how you can tell it's time to worry. You call the suicide prevention, and they put you on hold. This is how you can tell it's time to worry. You see a 60 Minutes news team outside of your home. That's a big worry. Well, we're going to take a look at both of these. Well, the main scripture is the first one we read this morning. And we're on a series on prayer. And hopefully, you're taking these things each week. And take this sheet, turn it over, and you're going to take some notes. You're going to run out of space, so you're going to have to probably turn it over and make some. I ran out of space myself to be putting all the information in there, so you'll want to be putting some notes on the other side, most likely. Everyone worries. However, worry can become habitual. And when that happens, when worry becomes habitual, it becomes so ingrained within us that much of our time is spent on worrying, so that even when there isn't anything to worry about, we're worried that we're not worrying. Do you know, and you probably know this, women worry more than men. And the men are probably saying, yeah. However, psychologists say that as you get older, you worry less and less. I wouldn't know that because I'm only 26. Well, let me invite you to, as I said, take this sheet and take some notes this morning. Let me show you some of the top fears that Americans have. And by the way, even as I was researching this, I came across different lists. So I could share with you two or three lists that have different fears. This is one of the major lists. Healthcare, number one. Americans are worried about healthcare. Crime and violence, which of course is a major fear. Federal spending, mamma mia. Number four, availability of guns and gun control itself. Terrorist attacks, number five. Six, race relations. Seven, our economy. And eight, unemployment. Unemployment. Like I said, there were several different lists I came upon, and you may look that up and say, well, that's totally different. I found several different ones. This was the one I thought showed more often. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. The Greek word for anxious is merimnao, merimnao. And it actually means to worry. And so what Paul is saying is that do not worry. Do not worry about anything. Do not worry about anything, which of course is what Jesus said. Don't worry. In the verses from Matthew chapter 6 that we read, it is the same Greek word that's used there, merimnao, that's used here in Philippians. It is made up of two Greek words. The first one, meritzo, which means to divide, and nous in the Greek, which means mind. And so when you have worry that is very, very strong and you worry a lot, you have a divided mind. Your mind is divided. The old English word that means to worry comes from the word strangle. And so what you have there is that worry tends to strangle you. And if you worry a lot, you know that's the case. You feel strangled. You feel like someone's choking you because you can't catch your breath. You have trouble getting your breath. And so on and so on and so forth. Taylor Clark said the United States, and I've read this in several different pieces this past week, the United States has transformed into the planet's undisputed worry champion. We are number one in the world. We're number one. Our nation is the number one worrying nation in all the world. In all the world. We spend in our nation over $300 billion, that's a B, $300 billion on medication to help with all of our worries and our anxieties. Wow. You're probably wondering, when are you going to get to the scripture stuff? I know, Lou, that's where you want to go. I know. However, let me share this with you. Some worry is healthy. Some worry is healthy. You're saying, well, you just said it's bad. I know, I'm all mixed up. No, I'm not. Some worry is healthy. When worry is healthy, it's called concern. It's called concern. Let's say Jake and Crystal, they have five children. And let's say their children are playing out in the middle of the street with the traffic going. And if they weren't concerned about them, what kind of parents would they be? If they just let them play and the cars are coming back and forth. Or if Bob were walking up Pittsburgh, Bob and Adrian, they were walking up Pittsburgh and they were out and doing something in the evening. They were going back to their car in the garage. And as they approached their car, they saw five men. Couple with the knives and couple with chains. If they weren't worried and they just kept on walking, I'm not worried. There would be something wrong with them. Or, how many of you are worried about Lou? Raise your hand. Even Lou's worried about Lou. If you're not worried about Lou, there's something wrong. When the word worry is translated in a negative sense, it means worry. And that's the sense that we're seeing in Matthew chapter 6 And that's also the sense that we're seeing here in Philippians. That it, in a negative sense, it means worry. When the word worry is translated in a positive sense, it means concern. Where you're saying, how can I, you're probably asking, well, how can I say that? Well, let me show you. Let me give you two biblical examples, scriptural examples of how it's used in a positive sense. Philippians 2:20. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Genuinely concerned for your welfare. There's concern. Second, 1 Corinthians 12:25. There should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. When it's used in a positive sense, it means concern. When it's used in a negative sense, it means worry. It means worry. Now, let's take a look at how the two are different. Concern, so what's different about concern? What makes concern and worry different? Concern is focused on others. Or you might say, so is my worry. But worry is here, and it stays. So it's really focused on yourself. And you have all of this in you that is going around and around here and around and around here, and that's all you can think about. So it's really you. Second, concern leads to spiritual growth. You might say, how? Well, you're going to be praying. Still yet, you might be worrying and praying. However, worry is unprofitable. It produces nothing good in the sense where it grabs a hold of us. Third, concern promotes constructive action. What can I do to take care of this? Whereas worry paralyzes the person. You can't do anything because you're paralyzed by this fear. This fear has a grip on you, and a worry has a grip on you, and you feel paralyzed by it. Four, concern is driven by love. Worry is driven by fear. It's driven by fear. Fear, again, has control of the person and the individual. Concern is driven by faith. You have faith and trust in God. Worry is driven by doubt. You may not say or feel that when you are worrying that I have doubt, but it is about doubt, not trusting that God is in control of every situation. Six, concern glorifies God. Worry dishonors God. Seven, concern is righteous. We should be concerned. Whereas worry is sinful. Did you know that? You know, I say, is it? Yes, because in the Greek, it's a command. Do not be anxious about anything. It is a command, and it is a strong command in the Greek. And we're being commanded not to worry. And so if we are breaking that, we don't like that one because I can't help it. You say, I can help it. I'm going to give you hopefully some tools at the end you might be able to use. Eight, concern is spiritual. Worry is worldly. Those people who do not have a God, do not trust in Jesus Christ, that's the world. We have Christ in our lives. We have Him. Nine, concern builds you up. It builds you up because you have to trust in God. You have to trust in His sovereignty. You have to trust and believe He knows what He's doing, even if it doesn't seem right. Worry robs you. Worry will rob you. Worry will rob you. Way back when, many, many years ago, when we first began, and that was over 26 years ago, when we began, I just carried everything on my shoulders. I thought, it is so hard here, Lord. Maybe we should move and go to Cranberry. Everything was hard. It was very, very difficult. This happened, that happened, this happened. One thing after another, it was so hard. And then one day I said to myself, Lord, okay. I can't do this anymore. Whatever happens, if you want this place to continue, you're going to have to do it. I can't carry it anymore. And I actually did that. I actually did that. From that time, I can say I hardly worry at all about things. Do you know what I worry about most? You. I have concern for you. All of you. As I pray for your needs and pray for you, there's where my concern and worry is. It's for you. It is for you. So let me share with you how it robs you. Worry is a thief. Worry is a thief. Did you know that? Worry is a thief. It robs you of four things. First, it robs you of joy. You're not happy when you're worrying. You're far from happy when you're worrying. You don't have time to be happy because you're worrying so much. Worry has a grip on your stomach, has a grip on your head, has a grip on your heart. And you're robbed of joy. Dr. Walter Cavert, and I've shared this in the past, only 8% of the things people worry about are legitimate. Only 8% of the things people worry about are legitimate. The other 92% are either imaginary. You know how we create issues in our mind? What if the plane crashes? And you picture that in your head, that the plane is going to crash. Never happened, or involved matters over which you have no control. And if you have no control over anything, what good does worrying do? Which is what Jesus said. What good is worrying if you have no control over it? If you can do nothing about it, what's the sense of worrying? Only 8% is legitimate. It robs you of health. It robs you of health. Charles Mayo of the Mayo Clinic said, worry affects the circulation, heart, glands, nervous system, and profoundly affects the health. Now, I had to cut the next one down a lot because there was so much involved. Worry dumps stress hormones into your brain that link to high blood pressure, ulcers, lowering your IQ. Hey, all I know is what I read. Acid reflux, rapid heartbeat, weakening the immune system, panic attacks, cancer, cardiovascular problems, increased blood sugar levels, irritable bowel problems. And there was more. There was more. It robs you of strength. Corrie ten Boom, that great woman of faith, and if you don't know who she was in Ravensbrück, World War II, and her family, they died. They were hiding Jews. She herself was not a Jew, but they were hiding Jews, their family, trying to protect them. They got caught, and so they were sent to a concentration camp. She said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. It empties today of its strength. It robs you of faith. Worry will rob you of your faith. Worry displaces God. Worry comes in, takes control, as I said, over here, and over here. And instead of God being in the center, and here's God, worry is in the center. And without realizing it, worry pushes God out over here, and worry comes right in and sits on the throne of our life and our heart. God's not in control. Worry is in control. Worry has a hold of us and is sitting, I said, on the throne of our heart and our mind, our body. Worry is elevated to a higher status than God. Worry's all up here. That's all we can see. And again, we're saying, we're pushing, whether we realize it, God, move over because I have to worry. I have to worry a lot. There's a story of a man who would go to the park and he would read a newspaper. And when he was done with his newspaper, he would shred it, and then he would put it on the ground, and then he'd get another one, and he'd get it, and he'd shred it again, and he'd put a shredded newspaper all around. A passerby came back and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm putting these shredded newspapers around to keep the elephants away." And the man said, "There's no elephants around here." He said, "See, it works." Worry does that to us. Worry is like that. We expend a lot of wasted energy worrying. Right? We're like that man spreading the newspaper shredded. It's a lot of wasted energy that counts for nothing. It doesn't mean anything. So, what can we do? What's the cure for worry? What's the cure for worry? Well, a couple of suggestions that I've come across. One, I like this one. Don't miss the good today by worrying about tomorrow. Every day, we could really spend 24 hours a day worrying, can't we? And you know what? I don't know about that statistic that said that the older you get, the less you worry. Because when you're over 26, like me, and you do have adult children, and they have children, now you're not just concerned about your children, you're concerned about your grandchildren. And so that expands even more. Don't miss the good today by worrying about tomorrow. Every day there's something good. Do you see it? Do you see the good? Are you so habitual in your worry that all you can see is the worry in your life? Two, recognize how much worry can harm you. We just went over a number of things that worry can cause. Know that these are real. They can harm your life physically. They can harm your life physically and do real damage to you physically. Physically. Third, identify what triggers worry in your life. What is it? What is it? Take note. Every time you worry, there's a trigger. What's the trigger? What's the trigger in your life? If you know these things about yourself, you may be able to help curb what it is that's causing that in your life. Four, don't clutter your mind with things you can't control. 92%. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, what you will eat, what you will dress, what this and that. Don't clutter your mind with things you can't control. The fact that you can't control them, any large amount of worrying you're going to do isn't going to change anything. It's not going to change a thing. Five, learn to accept uncertainty. Uncertainty is a fact of life. We want to control life. We want to control life. We want to be in control. And sometimes I think that's one of the bad things concerning us is that we want everything. We want to know what's going to happen all along the way. So then what part does God play? Where do we play? What part does trust? Where's trust? Where does that play? Six, experts say postpone worry. I don't know how you do that. But they suggest this, create a worry period. Not necessarily from 5 to 5:30, I just put there. Maybe your worry period would be 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. I'm not going to worry. I haven't scheduled that time to worry yet. My scheduled time to worry is 7 o'clock at night. But the experts say postpone worry. And I saw that a lot in a lot of places. Postpone worry, create a worry period. And there's this one, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares or worries upon him because he cares for you. There's the trust. Be our Lord, which I said to him concerning this place many years. Here you are, I can't do it anymore. I am physically exhausted, mentally exhausted, spiritually exhausted. I am tired. You take it. You do what you want with it. Whew. Here it is. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares, your worries upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. 8. Talk about your worries with a trusted friend. Not everybody that comes along, but a trusted friend. That's important. A trusted friend. A trusted friend. Maybe a trusted elder. Or a trusted pastor. Talk about your worries with a trusted friend. Someone you could confide in that maybe has a little bit more background area in whatever that might be. And 9, here's the last one. This is the one that applies to us. Pray. Pray. Typically, when worry has a hold of you, like we've been talking about, it's hard to pray. That's why talking to a friend first might be helpful. If you talk to a friend, there is something about what we might say confession in that. Not that you're confessing your sins, but confession, agreement, that you get another insight, and then you pray. Replace worry with prayer. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. All of them. The small, the medium, and the large. All of them. More prayer equals less worry. That's what I get out of scripture verse here. More prayer equals less worry. You're focusing more on God instead of focusing upon the worry in your life. You're giving more of your time to God, less of the time to worry. The way to worry about nothing is to pray about everything. The way to worry about nothing is to pray about everything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In the Greek, there are 7 words for prayer. In the Greek, 7 words for prayer. We see 3 of them here. 3 words for prayer. Prayer itself, petition, and requests. These are 3 of the 7 Greek words for prayer. Prayer, the word for prayer is prosuke, and it means intimate conversation with God, with an emphasis on devotion, emphasis on worship. In other words, not just, Lord, you know, I got this. But there's an emphasis on devotion and worship in the Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Bless your holy name today, for there is none like you. Help me, Lord, to give this day to you completely, for you are awesome in all things. 2nd, petition. Deisis in the Greek. And it means focused prayers for a felt need. Focused prayers for a felt need. And the 3rd one, request, aitema. Means specific details in your prayer. Not just for instance, I pray for Joe. I pray for Luann. I pray for Melody. I pray. What are you praying for concerning me? What are the details that you're praying for? What are the details? I pray for Joe, Lord, that you might touch him physically and spiritually. Draw him closer to you because he does not know you. Give the details. God knows them, but he wants us to take the time to pray about them. He wants us to take the time to pray about them. Now, if we do this and we make it a habit of our life, this comes with a promise. It comes with a promise. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is, if we do that, that word guard your hearts, guard your minds, and the peace of God, guard your hearts, guard your minds. That word guard, one of the meanings of it, it stands for a guard in front of the castle. And if you want to apply it to you, you are the castle. And there's a guard there when you do this. And the peace of God guards your hearts and it guards your mind. You are the castle. Your life is the castle. And it's being guarded. It's being guarded. Salvation brings peace with God. And I hope all of you know that. When you come to Christ, before you come to Christ, whether you realize it or not, if people realize it, they don't have peace with God. Whether they would acknowledge it or not, they're at war with God. People who have not received Christ into their life are at war with God. They may not acknowledge that. They may not even know that. But they're not a child of God. They were created by God, but they're not a child of God. But when you come to Christ, salvation brings peace with God. Prayer brings peace of God. One brings peace with God. Prayer brings the peace of God. And I need both desperately. I'm glad I have peace with God. And most of the time, I have the peace of God. I don't want to say I don't worry ever, because it's impossible. But most of the time, I have the peace of God. Most of the time, it's there. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God. And I love this verse too from Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It kind of goes along with everything we've been saying this morning. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him instead of being captivated by worry. And there's a great hymn. Well, that isn't there. A great hymn. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Great old hymn. Great old hymn with these words. Good thing too. That's one of those you should write, put in your Bible, put on your refrigerator. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Instead of being stayed on so many other things. You know, there's a story of a man who needed some work done on an old barn that he had. So his neighbor just happened to be a carpenter. So he got a hold of his neighbor and said, would you be interested in restoring this old barn that I had? And his neighbor, the carpenter, said, yes, I would be glad to do that. And so on the first day that he was going to be working, he had a drive there. It was his neighbor, but still about a mile down the road. He had a flat tire getting there. And then as he began work, cutting, his saw broke. So he had to go back to town after he repaired that and then come back. And so a lot of that day was wasted. And then in the evening, the owner came and said, let's talk a little bit. And he said, well, why don't you come over to my house and we'll talk about some of these things and what all we're going to be doing. And so as they went into the carpenter, before they went to the carpenter's house, the carpenter walked over to the tree and touched the branches of the tree. He touched them like this. And then he went into his house. And as he went into his house, he had this great big smile. His children came running up to him. He hugged them and he kissed his wife. And he introduced the neighbor again to them. Said, this is our neighbor. And I'm working for him over these next several months. As he walked the owner of that barn back to his car, the owner asked him, what was that all about? You walked over that tree and you put your hand on the branches. What was that all about? He said, well, I don't like to bring any problems that I have into the house. And so this is my worry tree. I go and I put my worries on the branches. And I leave my worries there on the branches of that tree. And then when I get up in the morning and go outside, I go to get them and they're not there. I don't know about having a worry tree. Maybe that will work for you. I don't know. Or worry stone or something like that. But we have something better than that. We have something far better than a worry tree, far better than a worry stone. The way to worry about nothing is to pray about everything and all those things. Whether you set a time to worry or not, you postpone it, all the worrying you do isn't going to change a thing. It's not going to change anything. Jesus tells us not to. He tells us not to. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Who of you, by worrying, can change anything, basically? Worry doesn't accomplish anything at all. Hopefully, some of these will help you. Will help you when those times come. However, we have a lot of habits in us that we've brought along over the years. And the changing habits are very, very hard unless we work with the new information and new things and we practice implementing those things in our life. God bless all of you today. I hope you're able to do that. Musicians.